Let's open our Bibles together in John's Gospel, chapter 10. John's Gospel, chapter 10, we commence to read at the verse number 19. John 10, verse 19. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, "He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him?" Others said, "These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?" And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, "How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be Christ, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered them, "I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. And now as we come to meditate upon it, we pray that thou will give me help as a preacher to preach thy word faithfully and expound thy precious truth. And so to this end, I take the promised Holy Ghost. That blessed power of Pentecost, O God, fill me to the uttermost. I take, please, Lord, please undertake this morning for me in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The verse 27 is the verse we've been looking at. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Now, the words of our text here were spoken as part of the Lord Jesus Christ's rebuke to the Jews, because the Jews had said to Christ, or accused Christ, of not openly telling them if he was the Christ, the Messiah, or not. In other words, not openly telling them about his mission. Verse number 24. "And then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ," that's the Messiah, "tell us plainly." And what they were insinuating here is that the Lord had not been plain, the Lord had not been open about the claim that he was making. In other words, the Lord was being elusive in telling them whether he was the Messiah or whether he was not. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, in response to their accusation against him, the Lord Jesus very plainly and very pointedly, he pointed out the real problem. It wasn't that he was not plain about his mission. It was not that the Lord Jesus had not said that he was the Messiah. But the problem was the state of their own heart. And quite often people are looking for scapegoats, you know, friends, and they say, "Well, listen, I got nothing out of this," or "I got nothing out of that." But the problem is not with others. The problem is the state of their own heart. They have a problem in their own heart. And so the Lord Jesus Christ was very pointed. Look at verse 25. Jesus answered them. He says, "I told you, and ye believe me not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." In other words, it had nothing to do with a lack of clarity on Christ's behalf or in what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying, but rather it had got to do with their unbelief in their hearts. They did not understand
why Jesus Christ came. They could not see that he was the Messiah. The problem was of their own hearts. Look at verse 26. But ye believe not. It was because of their own belief. But you see, what was the heart of the problem? It was even deeper. Not only does it say, because ye believe not, but this is important. Because, why did they not believe? Because ye are not my sheep. That's what he's saying. Now he's getting very pointed. He says, the problem is that you're not my sheep. You are not my sheep. You are not my people. And so in reality, he was proclaiming, you are not my sheep, and I am not your shepherd. I am not your Lord. I am not your master in your life. And friend, the truth of the matter is that men and women, you know, they cannot see the simplicity of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is, there has to be a working of the Spirit of God. Turn over to, keep your hand there. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says this in verse number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Notice it says that by the manifestation of the truth. Now, the word manifestation means to shine the light. In other words, the light of the gospel has been held up, and the light of the gospel has been shone before them. But here are people that even though the light of the gospel is shone into their eyes or before them, they cannot understand. They cannot understand it. They cannot take it in. And the reason for that is this. Because not only is the light of the gospel been shone into their hearts, but they're blind. And you can shine the light into a blind man's eyes, but I can tell you, still can't see. I remember, if you remember, a lady used to come here and used to sing years ago from England. Sandy used to come, and she was blind. And one of the things that hurt her very much, she was at a meeting one night, and there were those who were there were supposed to be healers there in that meeting, and they were calling people to be healed. And they said to Sandy at the end of the meeting, you know, your eyes are not restored, and your sight is not restored because you have no faith. You haven't faith, because if you had only faith, you could really see. Sandy said to me, brother, I want to tell you, my eyes are glass eyes. They're glass eyes. And so therefore, and they were accusing me of lack of faith. And she said, it hurt me deeply. It hurt me because they were trying to say it was my lack of faith. And I tell you, you can do many things with glass eyes, but I can tell you, you can't put life into them. You can't put life into glass eyes. And people, it says, listen, the truth has been manifested, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God, if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Why? Because the God of the world has blinded the eyes of them. And what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying is this. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I have spoken clearly, but you have not taken it in. You have not believed. Why? Why? Because you're not my sheep. You are not my sheep. Now he goes on to say then in verse number 27. He says, my sheep. He's now going to talk about my sheep. He says, you're not my sheep. But he says, my sheep hear my voice. And he says, I know them. And he says, they follow me. And friend, there are three things. We have looked at one of them already in our previous study. There are three things noted to hear in this verse. He says, about my sheep. He says, my sheep. He says, I know them. That's what he says in this verse. But he says also, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep, you haven't heard it, he said. You haven't heard my voice. Why? Because you're not my sheep. But he says, my sheep, they hear my voice. I know them. That's number one. We've looked at that. But he says, my sheep hear my voice. And then he says, having heard my voice, my sheep follow me. My sheep follow me. And I want us to take it now, the next step. And I want us to notice, not only does the shepherd know his sheep, but it says, my sheep hear my voice. In other words, they have the ability to hear the voice of Christ. And let me tell you, this is exclusive to God's sheep hearing the voice of their shepherd. We're talking about the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep, between the people of God, the redeemed of God, and those are the great shepherd of the sheep. And only they can really hear the voice of the shepherd. Now, we live in a world, there are many voices out there today. And there are many voices that are calling not only our young people, but calling society in general. My materialism, there's a loud voice of materialism today. And it's calling men and women to follow after them. There is a voice, my friend, of the world. And the world is calling men and women to go after it. There's a voice of unbelief. And that voice of unbelief is calling. There's a voice of self. Many voices there are, numerous voices. What we need to hear, child of God, is this. We need to hear the voice of the shepherd. We need to hear the voice of the shepherd. And I can tell you, when the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd, that's an amazing and a beautiful thing. To have the Lord talking to you. Have you experienced that? Do you experience, it's easy to sing, oh, he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I'm his own. And you can sing it out loud. But you know anything about it? Do you know what it is for the Lord to walk with you and talk with you? To really, because that's hearing his voice. And friend, let me tell you this. To hear his voice, then we have got to be willing to listen. We have got to be willing to draw near. We've got to be willing to draw near and hear his voice in his word. It's interesting in that second, 1 Samuel chapter 2. It said concerning, first of all, that young Samuel, he did not know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. The word was not revealed unto him. And you know, for us to hear the voice of God, friend, we've got to be still. What does the Psalm 46, verse 10 say? Be still and know that I am God. Let me ask you a question. Where do you read the Bible? Now, I'll tell you this. If you're reading the Bible in a room with a lot of other voices going on, friend, you are not getting to the place where you can hear the voice of the Lord. Because those other voices are distracting. They are. There's no use you sitting with a Bible in your hand and the television's on or the radio's on or the iPad's on. You hear the beeps and all of those things. Let me tell you, you need to get alone with God to hear his voice. Be still. What does it say in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11? And that ye study to be quiet. And friend, it takes the quiet place. It takes the quiet place. And I'm speaking to my heart and your heart. It takes the quiet. Listen, come. What did the Lord Jesus say to his disciples? He says, come ye apart. Come ye apart. And rest a while. Our brother's going to preach him down at the feet of Jesus. And friend, that's where you and I need to spend time. If you want to hear the Lord's voice, then you've got to leave aside the distractions of the world. Now, the Word of God, it is, we hear his voice through his Word. This is his voice today. There's a word from God today. And where's the word? It's in the book. It's in the book. And there is no alternative for you spending time around the book. God's children need to be people of the book. The book. That's the precious, infallible Word of God. Because the Word of God, it is inspired, and it is profitable for doctrine, it is profitable for reproof, it is profitable for correction, it's profitable for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be truly furnished unto all good works. That's what the book says, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Oh, that we would hear the voice of God today. And you know, the Bible is full of promises that you and I can claim. Oh, to hear the voice of God, not only in the promises, but to hear in His providences, to hear the voice of God even speaking to us. Now, the word hear, it says there, verse number 27, my sheep hear my voice. And what that refers to is the ability to recognize His voice, that this is the Lord speaking. To recognize that this is the Lord speaking. If you go to the beginning of chapter 10, it says this in verse 3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. In verse 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. Why? For they know his voice. They know his voice. And friend, today I ask this question. Do you know the voice of the Lord? That this is God speaking. That this is God speaking to my heart. Do you know the shepherd's voice? Now let me put this chapter 10 in context just a wee moment. It talks about the sheep and the shepherd, and then it talks about the porter opening the door to the shepherd. Let me explain this. You see, in Bible times, shepherds would lead their flocks onto the Judean hills and take them into pastures and went before them because, as those who have visited Israel know, there's not an awful lot of pasture that is green. So therefore, the shepherd has got to take them to the best pasture. So he leads them to this best pasture. But whenever it comes to evening time, and it's time to look after the sheep and care for the sheep, he brings them back to a fold. Now, there are many shepherds because there are many flocks. And so therefore, the shepherd takes his own flock, and he takes them to a place, and another shepherd takes them to his place, and might they go to different places. But in the evening time, they bring them back. The shepherds bring their flocks back. And where do they come back to? This communal fold. A fold. Now, there are many shepherds, and there are many flocks. Some of them bigger than others. And what the shepherd does is this, he brings his sheep, another shepherd brings, and they bring them sheep into this fold. Right? And then, a porter, he keeps the door of the sheep. Many times for individual shepherds, they actually were the door of the sheep. That's why Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. Because what the shepherd did, he would have sat down himself in the doorway. But here's a number of shepherds, and they come with their flocks. And then this porter, he comes, and he closes the door, but he's on guard all night. Now, I just thought that they, in actual fact, he was one of the shepherds. But what he did was this. He allowed the rest of the shepherds to go away home, or go back to their families, or to do other things, to do other duties during the night time. And then they would have a rest. And in the morning, the shepherds would come back. And the shepherd would go, and the porter would open the door, and the shepherd would stand, and he would call his sheep. Now let me tell you this. There was such a relationship between that individual shepherd and the sheep. Whenever he spoke, the sheep, his sheep, not them all, his sheep, they rose. And they followed. Another shepherd came, he spoke, and his sheep would rise, and they would follow out. And what would happen is that shepherd would then take his sheep to the pastures that he wanted to feed them on for that day. But the individual shepherd would call his own sheep. And they, the Bible says, listen, they know my voice. They know my voice. My sheep hear my voice. You see, the sheep have the ability to recognize the voice of their own shepherd. There were many shepherds that were there, but the sheep recognized their shepherd's voice. That's the power of discernment. And friend, that's vital important. Because whenever they discern to know the call of their own shepherd, then they go to him. And Jesus says in this verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. The sheep of a particular flock would only go to the call of their own shepherd. And that's amazing. Bearing in mind, the natural fact is sheep is pretty a dumb animal. And yet they know their shepherd's voice. That's good. Now, there are, of course, the Bible talks in this passage of God's word about strangers. You go on down to verse number 10. The thief cometh, or verse number 5. A stranger will they not follow, but they will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Ah, yes, there are strangers that come about, and they would love to have the sheep. And then he goes on down in verse 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Yes, there are those that have got a purpose to steal and to kill the sheep and destroy the sheep. Friend, there's nothing new. There are false shepherds today, false teachers. And they have a purpose. They want to scatter the sheep. They want to destroy the sheep. And the devil tells us that yes, he will have even those that are his children, the devil's children, that will come as the angel of light. And they'll creep in unawares. And they'll seek to take the sheep away from the shepherd. But notice it says, they'll not follow a stranger, they'll flee from him. Do you know why? Because that's not my shepherd. That's not my shepherd. And thank God, his sheep have the ability to recognize his voice. And will follow him. Discernment. Discernment. The ability to evaluate his voice. And friend, that's what every child of God needs today. Because as I said, there are many voices out there, and there are false shepherds out there that they would love to take and destroy the sheep. But God's children need discernment. In Hebrews chapter 5, in verse 13 says, everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern. And friend, you and I need, in this day in which we live, this day of apostasy, in this day of ecumenism, in this day of the charismatic movement and all the other isms is out there to destroy God's sheep and to lead them astray. We need discernment. But notice what it says in verse 14. Strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use, yes, reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's why you need to continue to study. Child of God, it is not that the preacher comes and simply preaches to you a sermon on the Lord's Day. You need to read the Word of God and search the Scriptures day by day. And ask God to open this book to your heart that you, by reason of use, when you know the Bible, let me tell you, and when a false teacher comes along and tells you something, you say, that's not for me because that's not the voice of my shepherd. That's not of God. And I tell you, I don't care who he is, if he preaches something contrary to the word of God, friend, don't be near it or don't be near him. I don't care how glorious the music is. I don't care how entertaining the rest of the meetings are. I warn you in God's name. If what he's saying is not grounded and founded upon the word of God alone, it's not the shepherd's voice. Stay away. Stay away. You need to discern. And I can tell you that's one thing that we need to have today. The word discern means to distinguish, to separate out, to discriminate, to judge, to scrutinize, to decide. And that's what God's child needs. Now, how will you scrutinize? How will you be able to scrutinize what has been said? Is this the voice of the shepherd? By knowing and hearing the shepherd's voice in his word. In his word. Getting to the book. You see, there's not only the ability to scrutinize, there's not only the ability to discern, there's not only the ability to evaluate what has been said, but then the ability, having heard his voice, notice what the verse goes on to say. My sheep not only hear my voice, but then they follow me. In other words, then you obey. When you hear what God has got to say, then you obey. And what he says really means something to you. Whenever you read God's word, and whenever you're coming into God's presence and being quiet before God, and you're coming with an open heart before God, saying, Lord, speak to me, friend, let me tell you, the Lord will not disappoint you. Because it's lovely. Whenever you read the word of God and you say, you know, that's just for me. That's a word for me. That's a shepherd's voice to me. And my God blesses your soul. And when he speaks, then you welcome it. You embrace his word. But just like the sheep in Bible times, their ear was tuned to the voice of their shepherd. And your heart and your ear must be tuned to the shepherd's voice. And the words of Christ will communicate a clear message to the child of God. Because the sheep know what the Lord is saying. Now to the unconverted, it's different. The word of God tells us that the preaching of the cross is to them the foolish, or to them that are lost. It's foolishness. It's foolishness. But the spiritual man will understand. They will discern what the shepherd is saying, because that person has the Spirit of God within them. They are in the Spirit. They are led by the Spirit. And God speaks through his precious word. And we can have that spiritual discernment. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 14, it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. And so the word of God is the voice of God speaking to men. And to the child of God, this word is a clear communication of what God has got to say. This is the revelation of God's will. And to the sheep of Christ, just to hear his voice, friend, is everything. Do you remember a few weeks ago we had the students? And do you remember one of the students, actually, in fact, our moderator's son, was giving his testimony. And he said his father was preaching. And once his father started to preach, he just switched off. And as far as I'm concerned, he heard nothing. Now, I'm not foolish enough to think that there are not people like that here. Because there are those that switch off. But I want to tell you, you're missing. It's you, the loser. And you can do that if you want, and you can sit like that and have your rebellion and have all that. Switch off, do it, friend. But I tell you, you're losing out with God. You are. Because if you have a tune, an ear that's attuned to the shepherd's voice, I'll tell you, you will not leave disappointed. Because the Lord will always have something to say. What does the word of God mean to you this morning? Child of God, the professing believers in this church, what does God's word really mean to you? Does it really mean this is the voice of God? And if you really believe that this is the word of God for you, well then why are you not in it? What are you not spending time around it for? If you really believe that this is God's word to your heart, this is guidance for you, this is the will of God for you, this is blessing for you. But then the question is this. How do these sheep get the ability to hear the voice of the shepherd? And the answer is very simple, friend. That's the product of God's saving grace. in the soul. Why does God's child understand the Word of God whilst others do not? You see, I talked about a person who's blind and you can shine the light as long as you like it, but he can't see. But the ungodly's dead. Dead. Now, friend, you can stand at the side of a coffin, you can talk as long as you like to your loved one, but I can tell you they'll not hear you. Why can't they hear? They always used to hear. They're dead. They're dead. And the Bible says that those who are unconverted, they are dead in their trespasses and in their sin. And that is why it is essential that there's the working of the Spirit of God, because it is only the Spirit of God that can make God's Word live, and through the Word and by the power of the Word and by the new birth, make souls live. And that's the work of God in regeneration, new birth. Thank God, whenever we're saved, we're born within us the life of God, alive unto God. But to be one of the sheep, we must hear the shepherd's voice. And that is known in biblical terms, or theological terms, is the effectual call of God. The effectual call of God. And friend, let me tell you this. The preacher could stand in the pulpit for 100 years if he was allowed to live, and the ungodly man will not hear him except by the power and the working and the wooing and the calling of the Spirit of God. The letter killeth. It's only the Spirit that giveth life. And the Lord calls his sheep, the Bible says. He calls them by name. And then he leads them out. And friend, let me tell you, we hear his voice today, not because of me, but because of the faithfulness of the shepherd who calls. It's the faithful shepherd who calls. It's his voice. Let me show you. Turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. You have there in the story, in Luke's Gospel 19, the story of Jesus entering through and passing through Jericho. And there was a man that climbed a tree. He was a wee man. His name was Zacchaeus. Now the Bible says in verse 3, he sought to see Jesus, who he was. He heard about this man called Jesus. And he wanted to see him. He was curious, in other words. He sought to see him, who he was. But he had a problem. He's a wee boy. He's a wee man. And he couldn't see. The crowds were around the Lord Jesus Christ. And so therefore, no matter how much he would stand on his toes, he still couldn't see the Savior. But he sought to see Jesus, who he was. The Bible says he could not for the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before and he climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus, for he used to pass that way. Now his curiosity has got him up the tree. But what he wanted to do was to see Jesus, who he was. That's all he was looking for. Doesn't say there he was wanting to come to Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus, who he was. But thank God for that curiosity. Now listen. Whenever Jesus, look at verse 5. When Jesus came to the place. That was the place where the wee man was. It says Jesus looked up and Jesus saw him. Now Jesus wasn't wanting to see him just to see who he was, or to see what size he was. The Lord had a different purpose. And the Lord Jesus saw him and he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Now he asked the question, was Jesus hungry and was wanting to go home and just have a feed with Zacchaeus? Nothing to do with friend. The Lord Jesus was not simply calling to go home and eat with Zacchaeus. That day on that, when Jesus stood there under that tree, it was a call to Zacchaeus' soul. And Jesus called him by name, Zacchaeus. Now, there were multitudes of other people around the Lord Jesus. He never mentioned their names, but he called Zacchaeus. And friend, that call that day was the irresistible call of God's grace to Zacchaeus up that tree. It was the effectual, powerful call of the shepherd. And he said, Zacchaeus, come down. Now look at verse 6. He made haste. He came down and received him joyfully. You see, the shepherd called him that day. Notice it wasn't Zacchaeus choosing the Lord. It was the Lord who called Zacchaeus. It was the greater power than what Zacchaeus had. And thank God it brought joy, because that's the fruit of the Spirit. Joy. And the Bible says he received him joyfully. And you know, friend, there are people in God's house this morning, up there in the gallery and downstairs. And you remember the place. It says, and when Jesus came to the place, and you remember the place the Lord called you. And we gospel meeting outside Dungan and Lache. Late Edmund Sanford was preaching the Word of God. And I remember the place. And I remember kneeling down at a form and Edmund Sanford pointing me to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I called upon the Lord. But let me tell you, friend, why did I call? Because the shepherd called his sheep by name. He brought me to the place of surrender. Very quickly, we'll close in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. The Bible gives us another illustration. It's a story about a woman this time. We had the man, now we have a woman. And it is the woman of Samaria. Now it says in verse number 3, look at verse number 3. Jesus left Judea and he departed again into Galilee. And then it says a statement. He must needs go through Samaria. He must needs go through Samaria. Now, why did it say that? Because, friend, listen, this was not the usual path or the normal path that the Lord Jesus Christ would take. But there was something different that day. He had to take this path. He must needs go through it. Now, why? Why did he must needs go through Samaria that day? I'll tell you why. Because one of his sheep, given to him by the Father, was going to be drawn there. That's why he was there. He must needs. He had to go through Samaria that day because of a needy soul there by the well of Samaria. Verse 6. Jacob's well was there. Verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Friend, this was not by choice or chance. The Lord was in the right place at the right time. Why? Because he came there for the right person. I have no doubt there were a lot of other people who came to that well that day. But they're not mentioned. But he must needs go through Samaria that day. Why? Because there was a sheep there. One of the sheep given to him. Now look at verse 25. We'll have to quickly. The woman said unto Jesus, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he has come, he will tell us all things. Here was a woman who was raised to believe in the coming Messiah. She was raised. She was a church-going woman. She was raised to believe in the coming of Messiah, but she didn't believe in the Messiah. She believed about him. And friend, let me tell you, you could be in church today Because you have been raised, and thank God you have been raised to come to the house of God, because there you will hear the word of God. You have been taught just like this woman about Jesus. But something happened that day. Look at verse 26. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I'm right in front of you. You're looking for Messiah. When he has come, what Jesus says, woman, I'm here. I'm here. I'm right in front of you. I'm the one that's speaking to you. Verse 29. The woman, she went into the city. She says, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She bore testimony. And that day, that woman heard the shepherd's voice. My friend, we're gathered around God's word this morning. And I pray today that you will hear. You see, the Bible talks about having ear. They have ears to hear, and yet they don't hear. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. The Lord Jesus spoke about that. In verse number 13, it says, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. Hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. Conversion's the only thing. Salvation, the new birth, is the only thing that changes man. Oh, that the Spirit of God would so work on your heart this morning that you would hear the voice of the Lord. Even, listen, friend, listen. The Lord Jesus was standing in the midst of a company of people. He was the preacher. And yet, under the ministry of Christ, the Lord Jesus says, you don't hear. But my sheep hear my voice. I wonder if there's someone here today and you say, preacher, I'd love to be one of his. I'd love to be one of his. Let me tell you, friend, you're not here by chance. And I don't believe you're even here simply by choice. I believe in the sovereign purpose of God. You're in God's house today to hear his word. And as the word of God is preached, oh, that you might hear his voice, that you might be like Zacchaeus, that whatever tree you're up, pride, whatever tree of sin you're up, that you'll come down and that you'll receive him joyfully. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. We pray that you'll continue to bless our hearts. Help us, our God, every time we read thy word, that we might have an ear that's sensitive to the voice, the leading, the guiding of thy Holy Spirit. For he shall teach you all things. He shall speak of me. We thank thee, our God, that thy blessed Holy Spirit, the third person of the glorious Trinity, will point to none other but to Christ. Lord, we thank thee today that Jesus is the way, the only way to heaven. And we pray that sinners will come by faith and receive thy Son to be their Savior. Oh God, speak loudly today. Speak in love. Speak in mercy. Speak in grace. For we pray in Jesus' name.